It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciate each and every one of you for listening, and today you have a purpose. Live with intention and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
Thank you, and back at you.
And my friends, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And thank you to each of you that are contributing to support our show, our independent voice, now more than ever. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble, all of these things that are in our Constitution are really under attack, and thank you to each and every one of you for supporting us. Greatly appreciate it. Go to my website, Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, for all kinds of information, recaps of our shows, our podcast, and sign up for our weekly newsletter as well. And one of the great reasons that this show gets to come to you, I have a lot of great sponsors. If you go to my website and click on the sponsors tab, and I can recommend each and every one of those businesses to you. One of them is Hooters Restaurants, which is located. They have five locations here in the metro area. There is Loveland, Colorado Springs, Lone Tree, Aurora, and Westminster. Tomorrow is Wednesday, which is Wings Day. They have a special on that. For to-go or to dine in, you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. Love those smoked wings. The girls are going to get together tomorrow night, so I will be ordering those to be delivered tomorrow, and they have all kinds of different rubs on those. But again, go to my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and have a treat. I get some Hooters wings, particularly on Wednesday. So thank you so much to each and every one of my sponsors. We've got a big show planned for you today. We'll talk with Chris Cantwell here in this first segment in just a little bit. Of course, Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. And then Representative Kim Ransom, she is on the Joint Budget Committee. She is a Colorado representative. She's my representative. And Steve, she's your representative as well. And she'll be on here in just a few moments.
Yeah, every time we have her on the show and I make that call, or she calls into me, and we usually exchange a hearty hi neighbor.
Well, she's doing a great job. This Joint Budget Committee that she serves on is a really important committee, and the Colorado Democrats have presented the long bill, which that is all the spending that they're presenting for Colorado. Steve, I find it absolutely interesting that it's $34.1 billion, I think. We'll confirm that with Representative Ransom. But it's an 11% increase over last year. How on earth, when so many Colorado businesses have had their business limited or actually put out of business because of government policy, how is it that Colorado has enough money to have an 11% increase in their spending?
Well, it doesn't, but that doesn't seem to bother anybody. And, we get into other things in Patty's news package of the day. I mean, I got to admit, call me Mr. Wet Blanket. And when you open the show, it's like your encouragement to all of us is that you have a purpose. You have all these things worth living. And, no offense, Patty, but I get to the end of her package, and I was like, what the heck are we doing?
Well, okay, I will challenge you on that then, producer Steve, because if you look at what's happening out there, it is somewhat daunting. And of course, when we talked to Brian Dimitrovic yesterday, economic historian, he's with the Laffer Center, these policies don't work. We know that they don't work in the long term, the big picture. We know that they do not work. My concern is certainly, I think what your concern is you can see that a lot of people, their lives are hurt. I mean, take a look at our neighbors, our friends, the challenges we've all had in trying to keep our businesses together, and people that have no fault of their own. Government has come in and said, you can't do business. We're at a crazy time. I call it Crazyville in America right now.
Well, I had a significant family member come to visit the state the last several days, and you know, we were discussing, and she's very politically minded, and she's asking different questions about Colorado, and I'm I ended up giving quite a lecture, I guess, because you know, it wasn't that long ago the state was red. It's not anymore. And tried to explain to her the 64 counties in the state, but basically the state is run by only five. And, you know, she was just kind of flustered at this explanation of things. It's like, can this be real?
Well, and what you're talking about is really the blueprint. Many of people have read that book. And the radical activists that have taken over, really the Marxists that have taken over the Democrat Party in Colorado, they're using Colorado as a petri dish. My friends, we are at the tip of the spear. As onerous as everything feels here, remember that we have 50 states. We're going to really have to see each state step up with their sovereignty for their own state. But the radical activists, Marxists that have taken over our state looked at Colorado, and it's perfect for them to try to do this agenda, because we have big swath of rural Colorado, and then you have 4, 5, 6 counties in the metro area. And if you can take those and win those politically, you've won the state. And that is what has happened here. But Steve, if they could do it, those of us with the better ideas, we can take it back. But we have to get our brain around these issues. We have to have the knowledge to understand what the issues are. We have to engage in conversations with our friends, our family, and our colleagues in this battle of ideas. And we can take it back. And the other thing is, and I'm working with a number of different groups, is working towards election integrity. I mean, there's some counties in Colorado that have more people registered to vote than actually are legally able to vote. That seems to be a problem there. And with what we're seeing down at the State House, they are on, just like with the Harris-Biden administration, they are on warp speed to get everything possibly done that they can. And when we talk about calling our representatives, I'm not sure that these Democrats really care, but do call the Republicans that are standing strong and give them support. Because think about it, it's got to be brutal down there right now, Steve, at the State House.
Well, everything you just said, I mean, the question comes out, does the tail wag the dog? And in Colorado, the tail does wag the dog. It's just, like you said, it's by design. It was the blueprint, and they were successful. I just say our challenge is try to get people to understand how they've been hurt. I mean, they're living their lives daily, and they just don't see it. Whether it's at the gas pump or looking at things that are going on at the border with the security of the nation, criminals and the health concerns that are there, they just don't connect the dots.
Well, I think more and more people are, Steve. I know what you're saying, but I think more and more people are. And I really think it's going to be the grassroots of Colorado that's going to take us back to. And when we say red, what I'm looking at is that rugged individual spirit that built Colorado. These ideas that we need to conserve, that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And this is a battle worth fighting. George Washington called it the glorious cause. And my friends, you are now living in history. It is now your turn to protect this glorious cause. But a couple of things, as you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people. So because Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors is going to be joining us, as well as we're talking about the long spending bill here in Colorado, I went to Walter Williams for our quote for today. And he just recently died. He was a professor, a variety of things. He was an American economist, commentator, and he was an academic. He was the John M. Olin Distinguished Professor of Economics at George Mason University, as well as a syndicated columnist and author. And he's known for his classical liberal and libertarian views, and his writings frequently appeared in Town Hall, WND, and the Jewish World Review. And he died December 2nd, 2020. He just passed on. He was teaching class on December 9th, or on December 1st, and on December 2nd, he passed on. He was born in 1936. And he said this, Steve. He said, "But let me offer you my definition of social justice. I keep what I earn, and you keep what you earn. Do you disagree? Well, then tell me how much of what I earn belongs to you and why."
You know, I would like to take a couple hundred copies of that just on a little note card and stand outside the doors of the House or the Senate right here in Denver and hand those out and see what kind of answers you would get to the why.
Well, the why is that many of our kids, many of these people that have been elected to office, think that people that earn and produce are bad people. They look at it and they think that people, if they've made money, if you've gone out and built a business, it's because you've hurt other people. And where you see people being hurt is in government. Take a look at what has happened in Colorado. Polis with all of these executive orders. This continued, the emergency mask mandate was supposed to be, it's supposed to be for 30 days. We're now well into over a year with all of these emergency mandates that he has. It's been government that has been hurting people. But for some reason, they think it's business that does that. And that's why you see all of this legislation that's coming through that hurts businesses. But I'm going to ask Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors about that, because he's in the business of helping people buy and sell their businesses. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. That's a great quote. And let's talk about taxes and how you're punished when you own and sell a business and how that could eventually change is with the new Biden tax plan. And it'll probably take effect in 2022. So to all of those business owners out there who might be thinking about selling in the next few years, you've really got to look at what the tax consequences are going to be. And in most scenarios, when we sell a business, it's called an asset sale, whereby the assets and the branding of the business are sold and a new entity is formed. And on the surface, it doesn't look like anything changed with the business, but behind the scenes, it is a new entity, a new company that owns that business. So when you go to sell your business, you're going to pay some taxes, and it's broken down into two components. The tangible assets of the business, so that might be your furniture, fixtures, equipment, inventory, and the goodwill. The goodwill is your name, your brand, your reputation, your customers, and you pay taxes for those two components. And on the tangible assets that you sell, you're typically going to pay your ordinary income. So that might be 30, 35, 40%. And on the goodwill, you're going to pay capital gains, which is typically around 15%. So when you go to sell, that's negotiated a little bit on the value of the tangible assets and the intangible assets. And that's where a business broker can certainly help with that. And your CPA is also a great resource there, because you need to know what your tax consequences are going to be. And it's going to put you in a larger tax income category for that year. So depending on how much taxes change and go up, because clearly they're not going to go down, we wouldn't want to incentivize anyone. If it changes enough, you could end up paying close to half of what you sell your business for to the government, which is crazy. So if you're thinking about selling, 2021 might be the year to sell.
And you have a repertoire of businesses that people can buy and sell currently. How can people, and also you mentioned kind of that team, if people don't have that whole team in place, you have people that you work with that can help with all of this. So people should not be afraid to take a look at this. Now, really nothing is for free except a consultation with you to take a look at what that might look like regarding selling a business. Right, Chris?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, I don't charge for any kind of consultations. Happy to talk with anyone about their current situation. Happy to give them an approximate market value of what they might get for their business sale in the market today. And we have a list of, I've got a couple hundred listings right now, and I'm happy to share that with anyone. And you can reach me by calling me directly, 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ. And you can find all my contact information on the KimMunson.com website.
Well, and for sure, and I recommend to give Chris a call. One other thing, the Harris-Biden administration is thinking about raising the capital gains tax, correct? Am I remembering that correct?
Yep.
Okay, and do you know what they're talking about?
I don't know what's going to shake out. But again, if it's, you know, if it moves from 15 to 30% or more than 30%, that's where you're going to be giving half of your the sale of your business to the government.
Oh, my gosh. I'm hoping that people realize, I've talked to a lot of people that have said, my gosh, under the Trump administration, my own personal economy did much better. In fact, Brian Dmytrovic yesterday said that average family median income had gone up $10,000 under the Trump administration. I'm hoping, Chris, that people realize how public policy affects their lives. Are you seeing that with the people that you're talking with?
A little bit, but you know, there's still so many unknowns out there on what's going to happen and what's going to change, and it's likely going to change in 2022. So at the moment today, we're not seeing a lot of that, but we all certainly know it's coming.
Okay. Well, Chris Cantwell, thank you so much. You're a valued partner of the show. I greatly appreciate you, and we'll talk to you here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great, Kim.
You too. Have a great day. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll go through some headlines. And then in segments 3 and 4, we'll talk with Representative Kim Ransom regarding Colorado's budget and the spending. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Let's take a look here, Steve, at our bill of the day. This is Senate Bill 21-230, sponsored by Senators Hansen and Winter, Representatives Valdez and Bennett, all Democrats. And it's concerning a transfer of money from the general fund to the energy fund to finance programs of the Colorado Energy Office and in connection therewith making an appropriation. So it directs the state treasurer to make an immediate one-time transfer of $40 million from the general fund to the energy fund administered by the Colorado Energy Office. The CEO may use the money for its ongoing programs plus the following enumerated purposes: making grants to the Colorado Clean Energy Fund and the Colorado New Energy Improvement District totaling up to $30 million and $3 million respectively. Increasing the amounts available through residential energy upgrade loans by up to $2 million and providing up to $5 million in additional funding to the Charge Ahead Colorado program administered by the CEO. Says the bill requires the CEO to periodically report on its expenditures to the Office of State Planning and Budgeting and the General Assembly. The bill appropriates $40 million from the Energy Fund to the CEO to be used for the specified purposes. One has to ask, first of all, Steve, if something is a good idea, why you would have to forcibly take tax revenue from everyday people and give it to this office if these energy programs are a good idea. They should be able to compete in the free market, the free and fair market. This is picking winners and losers. This is, again, working to get people into electric vehicles. I had an experience recently with an electric battery that it does not work as well in the cold. They call this clean energy. We know that electricity right now, it is still, for it to be reliable, efficient, it is reliable on fossil fuels. But this is, once again, if it's a good idea, we should not have to forcibly take money to make all of these things happen. Steve, you always give the disclaimer that we're not against new technologies, but we are against government force and forcing people to start to use them versus something that is more affordable, more efficient, more abundant, and more reliable.
Yeah, that's my disclaimer, and you know, I'll stand by it. When the technology is mature, bring it. But otherwise, if all you're doing is trying to vote by with it and jam it down our throats, I just don't know that we're interested. There's a much more detailed story further down the package here, today's package on EVs, and that really is some incredible eye-opening things going on in that area right now. Eye-opening, not in a lot, a good way, let's put it that way. You know, in this particular story of the bill of the day, scroll down there to Senator Jerry Sonnenberg's comments there. I think he summarizes it very well. Go ahead, read that.
He really does. And Senator Jerry Sonnenberg, Republican from Sterling, said he is worried that the state seeks to use taxpayer funds to create an energy plan that could help to displace workers in the oil and gas sector over the next 10 years. This is his quote. He says, "It's troubling to me when renewable energy can't stand on its own two feet and compete," Sonnenberg said of the apparent need to push public funding its way. "From my perspective, I don't think it's necessary. If they're touting renewable energy as less costly, then why do we need a clean energy fund to move it forward?"
So you ask the question, why can't it compete? What are there shortcomings, or what, for what reason can it not compete in the marketplace? And it goes back to what I keep saying, at least, is that because most of the technologies that they're pushing forward have some type of a shortfall in being able to do what they say it can do. So his comments there are stellar.
Well, and let's just think about this, Steve. What is occurring here? And again, Colorado is the petri dish, my friends. They are working to do all of these experiments here. And it goes back to what we were talking about in the last segment, where they figured out if you can get the votes in 4, 5, 6 of these Front Range counties, then basically you have the state right now. They don't really care about rural Colorado. They don't really care about the everyday people of hardworking people of Colorado. They're bent on this political agenda, which is being pushed by the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab about this. And Will Tour, and I remember seeing his name when I was on city council. He's now the executive director. He is really a radical activist. He's wants to push, you know, this really AOC's new Green Deal. And this is what he said. He said that because of the increase in clean energy, he says it's vital to achieving the state's greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals. And we've looked at those goals, and they want to get us back to reducing from what we used in 2005. Think about the growth that we had between now and 2000, from 2005 to now. And he says this should be a green bank of sorts to seed and grow companies. And the fund, which is a nonprofit closely affiliated with the Energy Office, to loan money to those companies and use the returning funds to seed future firms for years to come. I want you to take a quick look at that. A nonprofit closely affiliated with the Energy Office. They're going after business all the time, small business, more taxes, more regulation. But these nonprofits that they're starting to use, remember, we used to have charities, Steve. Then we moved to not-for-profit or nonprofit. It doesn't mean that they don't make a profit, that they're not doing a business and they're paying people to do that business. It just means that they are not paying taxes. So when we talk about capital gains tax and things, these nonprofits, and they're called NGOs or non-governmental organizations, and they're not accountable to the people, to us, because they're deep, deep into all of this bureaucracy. But when they talk about electric clean energy, nothing is perfect. And one has to ask, first of all, why would we be using public policy? Colorado's natural gas is very clean burning. It's very reliable. Fossil fuels make our lives better. Fossil fuels, I go back to VF Corp. Remember, that is the owner of North Face, and VF Corp received all kinds of economic, quote unquote, incentives or tax breaks to come to Colorado. So again, here's the big guys. They're getting a break on their taxes. The little guys are still paying their taxes. Gosh, if it's good for a big business to pay less taxes and they want to do business here, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, Steve, to figure out that small businesses might like less taxes and less regulation as well. But anyway, North Face, think about the jackets that they create. There's petroleum. It's a petroleum-based product. What about the people that are skiing? Skis have petroleum-based ingredients in it. And so there is, first of all, it's very... there's a lot of hypocrisy in this, that they say that they want to get rid of an industry that actually is very important to their particular products. But then why on earth would we use public policy to try to get everyone onto one energy source? I mean, my gosh, Xcel Energy, it's brilliant. They now are getting government to say, we want to shut down our competitors. And we know that the more demand that goes onto the grid, we could have some blackouts. And the other thing is electricity is more reliant on China because of the mining of these rare earth minerals that have to go into electric batteries. It's madness that we would let public policy start to do this to everyday people. But Jason McBride, what do you think about that?
Well, Kim, I can't disagree with you. I think if energy or any other industry or idea can't stand on its own, then it's probably not ready for prime time yet. I know that a lot of new ideas get a little bit of help at the beginning or nursed along, but you can't babysit them and subsidize them forever and ever. At some point, either they have to make their own way and be able to self-sustain, or it's just not ready yet.
Well, I know, and it's interesting. $40 million, can you believe, after the year that we've gone through with the state legislature and Governor Polis shutting down businesses, that they are now finding $40 million? Of course, I think a whole bunch of this money is coming from Washington, D.C. I think Colorado's getting a bunch of payoffs. We'll find out. We'll talk to Kim Ransom about this. But in the federal money that's coming here for all kinds of different projects. And I'm deeply concerned about that, because that money is somebody's money. It is either taken from our neighbors, from ourselves, through taxes, or we're incurring debt that our children will have to pay off. And there's something immoral about that, Jason McBride, that we are making commitments, financial commitments for our children, that they don't even have an opportunity to be a part of that decision. I find that there's something really immoral about a society that's going to do that to our kids.
Yeah, pretty tough. And, you know, with $30 trillion in debt, it's hard to imagine how that'll actually ever get paid off. I've always said we need to search for another planet that we can do business with and get them to agree to trade deals like we did with China before Trump came along, and maybe we can fleece them for enough money to pay off our debt.
Okay, well, maybe that's why everybody wants to go to Mars. We'll find out. So Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management, when we were talking with Chris Cantwell, he said it really looks like it will probably be 2022 when the capital gains tax might change. And so this might be the year to really take a look at a Roth account, a Roth IRA, where you can pay the taxes now to get it into that account, and then you don't have to pay taxes when the money comes out. And I would recommend people sit down with you, because that could be a really great strategy this year.
Yeah, anytime that you can create an account that can be tax-free down the road, I think that's a good idea to think about, Kim, because just math says that taxes are likely to eventually go higher, and they're likely to eventually stay higher with the obligations we have. Somebody's going to have to pay for all this, and eventually, you know, the collector's going to come knock at the door. So a Roth that lets you grow the money tax-free, take the money out tax-free after certain time has been satisfied, I think is a very, very good idea. And I've always loved Roths and thought they were one of the biggest benefits Congress ever gave us by mistake without understanding what they were actually doing.
True that. Question. Let's say somebody has a stock that they love in their IRA. Do they have to sell that to get it into a Roth IRA, or can they just transfer that stock over there?
No, you can, when you do a Roth conversion, you can move either cash from your IRA to the Roth or assets, and you don't have to convert your entire IRA, so you can choose the amount, the stock. You've got complete flexibility on what you want to do.
Okay, and Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management, how can people reach you?
Best way, just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, Kim.
Jason, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Colorado representative, my representative, Kim Ransom. She serves on the Joint Budget Committee. We are lucky that she does that. And the long bill has been presented by Colorado Democrats. It's a spending bill. Interestingly enough, it is an 11% increase over last year. So let's find out from Representative Ransom what's going on. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. On the line with me is my Colorado representative, and that is Representative Kim Ransom. She serves on the Joint Budget Committee, which they work to put the budget together. The long bill has been presented by Colorado Democrats, which basically is the spending that they want to do for the next year. And Kim Ransom has been in those meetings, and it's good to have you here, Representative Ransom, to explain this long bill. Welcome to the show.
Kim, thank you so much for having me.
You have been in meetings, meetings, meetings. Even during the scamdemic, you have been in meetings regarding the spending here in Colorado. And I was shocked to see that it is an 11% increase over last year when I see so many businesses that have been limited or shuttered. It's like, how on earth is government growing by 11%? So walk us through this.
First of all, we need to thank every single person in this state that voted for the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. Do you remember back in 1992, Kim? I think you lived here then. And
yes.
Tabor is also known as Tabor, but the Taxpayer Bill of Rights was adopted by the voters of Colorado and put into the Constitution. That is what is really saving our state right now, is the fact that they have not been able to really halt the success of businesses, and also the fact that they can't grow, they can't spend at the rate that they would love to because of Tabor. It's really been a boon in our state this year, and we're going to see more of it over the next couple years because we're already at the point where we are possibly hitting the Tabor cap. Without going into all the details, government can only grow at a certain rate, the spending, and also the receiving of taxes. And if we hit the cap, we literally get to start refunding taxes to taxpayers. And when I hear that, I'm excited. I go, yay, we get to refund some money. Of course, the majority party freaks out. It's like, oh no, we have to give back money, you know. And so they're always trying to find ways to stay under the Tabor cap. For example, and one of the best ways they do it, or one of their favorite ways, is to turn things into an enterprise. So if they can keep certain funds out from under the Tabor cap as an enterprise, then it's not subject to that growth rate that regular taxes are.
Well, and Representative Ransom, what you are explaining, it is, there's some, I would say it's some nuances. Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, is basically just about good manners. It is saying to politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, those PBIs, if you want to raise our taxes, or if you want to keep revenue, state revenue, our tax money that comes in above a certain cap, and that cap is, the formula is inflation plus population. So it allows government to grow for that, but anything above that, they have to have the good manners to ask us. And they don't want to ask us because they're afraid that we may say no.
No kidding. And the taxpayers over and over again have said no. They have tried multiple times to undo Tabor in one way or another, whether it's by undoing the return cap to where they have to return money if it goes over a certain level. They don't want to do that, and so they've asked, and the taxpayers over and over again have said no. Either refund us some money or ask us, tell us how you want to spend it, and we'll think about it. And since the taxpayers continue to vote no on increases, the majority party has realized, okay, they're just not sure how to handle that.
Go ahead.
Kudos to the businesses of Colorado that have worked really hard to maintain their success. And to the workers of Colorado, the taxpayers, the people that have continued to work and find ways when they possibly could to continue to work.
Well, what do we see in this long bill? Because an 11% increase in spending over last year, I think it's really a slap in the face to everyday Coloradans, because they take money. First of all, it was public policy that shut down businesses. Now they say that they want to come in and they want to help businesses, or they want to help individuals, but they pick winners and losers who now gets that money. And Bob Woodson, when I had him on the show with the Woodson Center, he said, when we get to a society, and I'm paraphrasing my understanding, when we get to a society where we separate income from work, and when we separate people from earning their income but just getting it, we're really chipping away at the American idea, Representative Ransom.
Exactly, because people's incentive to work harder is to get more for their family, if people work overtime, maybe they're trying to save for a vacation or for their child's college or for, you know, to pay off debt maybe. And if we then jump in and say, ooh, more money, that's more taxes for us, that takes away people's incentive to work harder.
And ultimately, then we move from a country, we move from businesses, people that are striving for excellence, to we move to less production and mediocrity, and ultimately a lot less production and less prosperity, less thriving, less flourishing, human flourishing for people. What's in this bill? And you've been in hours and hours and hours of meetings. Where is the money going?
Well, there's a little something for everyone. They really spread the money out And I think part of the reason for doing that is to try to garner support from as many possible different groups as they can. And there are things, by the way, that I completely agreed with when money started coming in. You know, and we realized that taxes were still coming in from 2019. Remember, because the business shutdowns didn't start till a year ago, spring of 20. And so when we were getting the tax, people paying their taxes from 2019, they came in at a higher rate than anybody had expected going into the pandemic. So that's now, where a lot of the...
Well, and let's just make a point there. You're saying that in 2019, tax revenues came in higher than anybody expected. Let's draw and let's connect that dot, because the economy was doing well. And why was the economy doing well? It was because of Trump's policies of less regulation, less taxes on people. The economy was doing really, really well. I think people need to connect that dot, Representative Ransom.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, I have another question for you. You said there's a little of something for everyone in this spending bill. And when you say that, because they're trying to garner support, again, connecting another dot, that is code words, which producer Steve would use, and that is buying votes. They're out there using tax money to buy votes for this next election by giving people free money through this spending bill is my thoughts on that, Kim. I know that Kim is trying to get to, it sounds like she's trying to get to a meeting. I know when we planned this, she said that she was going to be working to get to another meeting. So I think that she's in the process of doing that. She sounds like she's on the go. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Representative Ransom. Before we do that, though, as you know, this show is brought to you by a number of great sponsors. One of them is Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They are a family-owned business. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. Whether or not you are a collector or a sportsman or a chef or just want to have a nice steak knife set when people come over to eat that great Colorado beef here, go to castlegate.com for more information and visit their actual physical location. They have a great inventory. And again, that's castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Representative Ransom.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Also, Representative Kim Ransom is probably one of the hardest workers, one of our state legislators who just works so hard for everyday people. And I know that you're on the go. When we agreed to do this meeting, you have another meeting that you're headed to. So I so appreciate you joining us, Representative Ransom. But this, there's a lot, as you mentioned, there's a lot going around in the spending bill for lots of different people, which you said they're trying to garner support. I say that that is trying to buy votes and to take money from one person or the next generation through debt to try to buy votes. I think there's something really wrong about that, but it's been going on forever. That's what sometimes they do in politics. That's why we, the voters, need to be informed and understand what's going on. So what's some of the lowlights on this spending bill that you want people to know about?
there is a lot of money going to higher ed. Now, higher education, when we have state universities, state colleges, I understand that there is likely and actually should be some public money going to those, but they have a huge amount of financial aid. And you know who can apply for financial aid? Illegals. People that are not here legally, undocumented folks, are allowed to apply for state financial aid. So your tax dollars are going to, and even last year during the pandemic, your tax dollars were going to support people that aren't here legally that want to stay in college. So they could be working, they could be having jobs, or they could go back, you know, to their country, or we could pay them to go to college. So that's one. There are a lot of other equity type, and I say equity in, I'm making ghetto marks with my fingers. They call it equity. I call it, as you just did, taking money from some people and giving it to others, whether or not they earned it. But to be honest, Kim, the other piece I want to make sure you know is that there are some good pieces in this budget. That is what you can do, what I did as a member of the minority. I found a few certain priorities that I wanted to focus on. For example, when you said giving money to other people, I do have a few exceptions. I think we should support law enforcement. I think we should support the IDD community. That would be intellectually and developmentally disabled folks. We actually currently have a wait list of 3,000 adults that are disabled of some kind waiting for services, which I think is a crime. When we're giving college money to illegals to go to college at, you know, as part of their financial aid, and then we are leaving disabled people on a wait list saying, well, we can't get you respite care, we can't get you the therapy that we want you to have, et cetera, because we choose different priorities. And that's what I hear as I go through that budget process. One of the things that we accomplished in the budget, and this was unanimous, I'm the one that kind of brought it up, I made the motion, but we're taking 600 people off that wait list. So when we have this kind of a growth in government, I absolutely want to take people off the wait list. So we're going to get over 600 off.
Well, that is a positive, but then you're saying that there's 2,400 disabled people, you said intellectually challenged, is that right? So there were 3,000 people on a wait list, and through this, 600 people will come off that list. That means there's still 2,400 Coloradans that are on that list, while on the other hand, we are, you said, giving a significant amount to higher, I'm now calling it indoctrination. We are not seeing much intellectual or ideological diversity on our universities, and we're seeing actually shutting down of voices on our universities. And I do not think that we should be funding that with taxpayer money. But certainly we should not be funding illegal immigrants' college education when people are struggling to send their own kids to the college that they might want to do that. And so this whole equity thing, instead of equality, in America we're supposed to be treated equally under the law. This whole equity thing is picking winners and losers by some descriptor. And to have our Coloradans still be on wait lists for help and then spending money on, and it's not just in the long bill. We're seeing all kinds of legislation that is taking money and giving it to people that are here illegally. I'm deeply concerned about that. Kim Ransom, what else do you want our listeners to know about this long bill?
We are restoring a lot of the funds that we swept last year when we had to cut the budget. So some of the funds were legitimately grown and gathered by fees that people pay. So here's a good example. People that have off-highway vehicles
pay a license fee. That fee is intended to improve their trail. So people that, you know, that drive ATVs out, you know, in areas, you know, state parks mm-hmm. and things like that, they pay these license fees. We are supposed to improve the trail with those license fees. And sometimes people even pay extra because there's a checkbox when they pay their license fee. Would you like to pay extra and, you know, help improve these trails? So that fund has several million dollars. I think maybe about $10 million. And we took it. We swept it. We took it and used it to pay bills, state bills. We put it in the general fund. And clearly, it was a party line vote. So I was in the minority when I objected to that sweep. But that's one of the things that they took. Now, we are putting back the money that we took last year. I think we took probably $5 million. And so that's one of the items that you'll see in the long bill is we are replacing that money this year. So those are things that the minority party, which I will give credit to Senator Rankin. So he's the Republican from the Senate, then I'm the Republican from the House. So it's two of us against the majority party has the majority on the Joint Budget Committee as well. So, but we did fight for small pieces that we were able to get. We're prepaying some things. So one of the items that we did not do last year that was a problem for me, we did not pay the state's obligation to PARA last year, which is the retirement fund for retired state employees. Because there's technical reasons we couldn't go back and pay last year's payment this year, but what we did was prepay next year's, which will help the state's credit rating, and it will get us back to where we're basically even with PARA. We'll catch up much more quickly with becoming fully funded, because PARA is underwater right now. So that's why this agreement has been made. So we moved $100 million from the marijuana tax cash fund over to the school construction fund. Well, it's called the BEST fund, Better Education Structures Today, I believe, BEST fund. And that's one thing when the voters of Colorado approved legalizing marijuana, the money was supposed to go to education. Yet I can tell you it's gone through many things other than education. And that was one item that you'll see in this year's budget as well, that we're funding that school construction fund, the BEST fund, with marijuana tax money. So, like I said, there are some good pieces in this budget.
Okay, question is, where has this money come from? Colorado has been shut down. Our unemployment rate is high. We've had small businesses, mid-sized businesses that have either gone out of business or have been limited. Where has all this money come from that we can be spending like this?
Sales tax. So you may know that marijuana, it did not suffer during the last year when people were sent home from their work and given unemployment. Guess where they spent it? Unfortunately. But it did grow that tax fund, the marijuana tax cash fund. There was also indication that many industries did not suffer. For example, cars. The car sales did not suffer. And I think part of the reason is prices have come down, people are driving less, but there are an awful lot of new cars right now out on the highways. And if you look at the car sales records, those taxes are coming in. So clearly groceries, clearly online sales, there were areas that did not suffer last year during the shutdown.
But isn't Colorado getting a whole bunch of money from the feds as well?
Well, that's the other piece. Yes, Colorado has been getting money from the feds all along. So there has been the CARES Act, the Family First Prevention Act, which was the very first one last April, I believe, for that. And now we are looking at this huge, huge influx of money. Overall, the federal government, last I heard it was $1.9 trillion. It was the overall package, and they're looking at more. Colorado will get about $6 billion overall. $4 billion to the state, $1.9 billion will go to local municipalities and counties. So there is an awful lot of federal dollars coming in. That is a separate issue. They're trying to spend that as grant programs, which, again, comes back to exactly what you've been speaking to, Kim. That is meaning picking winners and losers. I'd rather give tax refunds back and give everybody a little money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Representative Ransom, she's spot on that. That was Representative Kim Ransom, and she's on the Joint Budget Committee. And my friends, the quote for today from Walter Williams just speaks to this. He says 3/5 to 2/3 of the federal budget consists of taking property from one American and giving it to another. Were a private person to do the same thing, we'd call it theft. When government does it, we euphemistically call it income redistribution. But that's exactly what thieves do. They redistribute income. Income redistribution not only betrays the founder's vision, it's a sin in the eyes of God. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.